All right, are any kids ready for Sunday? Whichever kids most ready for Sunday school, stand up. All right. Zuri, you want to lead the way to the offering well in Sunday school? Lead your troops? Y'all can be dismissed. Georgianne's surgery, to update you, went well. She had a knee replacement, and she's still recovering. She'll be recovering for a while, of course, on that. But it went well. They said the knee was definitely shot, so everything went well with that surgery. So just keep her in your prayers for speedy recovery. Joe Brown's very sick this morning. Keep Joe in your prayers. He got a stomach bug, a stomach flu or something, so he's very, very sick. So keep him in your prayers. I know we have a few traveling this weekend that are out of town, so just keep our church family that's traveling in prayer. And there's someone else. No. I mean, yeah, but no. All right. Keep your eyes on the prize. We all like prizes. Some of us are more competitive than others. You ever spent too much money on one of those little machines trying to get a stuffed animal out that costs like, you know, a nickel? And you spend $20 trying to get a nickel bear? You know why? It drives you crazy. You got that claw, right? So you put your money in, I can get this. And the claw, almost. So you put another dollar in, I got it now. You get the angle. You go to the side of the machine, you start looking like this, and I've done that. You know, control of the arm. And you'll spend, you'll spend $20 for nothing. Because we want the prize. And, that's what everybody shoots for. It's what everybody wants. In the sports world, you have the Lombardi Trophy, right? Super Bowl Trophy. Everybody wants the Super Bowl Trophy to show they're the champions of the world. You know, in hockey, it's the Stanley Cup. You know, we're shooting for the prize. The ultimate goal of being the best of whatever we can get. Well, as Christians, we have the greatest prize ever. And that's a resurrected life with Jesus forevermore. That's our prize. That's what our eyes should be on. So if our eyes on a prize, and understand, I'm a big Rocky fan. Anybody grew up watching the Rocky movies? Anybody like Rocky movies? Oh, I love them. I love them. My favorite is actually Rocky III when he fights the Russian dude. He had to go to Russia and train. That dude's big. Oh, my gosh. And I love in the ring when he's hitting Rocky and he goes back to the corner in Russian. He says, he's not human. He's a machine. You know, because he keeps hitting him, and Rocky's just not going down. He's like, who is this guy? Well, I love Rocky, and I love Eye of a Tiger. When Ashley was doing cross country for North last year, we'd always go to her track meets, and we'd be kind of, you know, watching her run. You kind of move spaces wherever they were running at. And at North one day, she was running, and I went, Ashley, Eye of the Tiger. Ashley, Eye of the Tiger. And she's like, you know, really embarrassed because all her friends are here, and I forgot, sorry. But I'm trying to motivate her. You know, we know what Eye of the Tiger means. If you say Eye of the Tiger, it means go get it. You know, go get it. And so I love the Rocky movies because they're so inspirational, even though I know they're a fictional movie and all that. But so inspirational because he was always outmanned, outsized, you know, outskilled. But somehow when he had those American boxers on, he just won. He just won. And I love the one in the Russian movie wherever, they're chanting for the Russian guy. But as Rocky stays in the fight, you hear the crowd shift. And you hear them in Russian start, you know, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. They start chanting Rocky. And the leaders of the world are like, you hear that, idiot? They're cheering for the enemy. What's wrong with you? And so he swayed the whole crowd because Rocky had one thing in mind. I'm going to be champion. I've got my eye on the prize. We can endure a lot of yo Adrians for the prize, right? We can endure a lot of cut eyes and a lot of bruises and beat up bodies if we know that one day we're laying all this down to inherit the ultimate prize, forever living, forever life. So we're going to talk about what the Bible says, and we're going to start in the book of Philippians. If you'll find the book of Philippians, and something my pastor taught me years ago about how to find Philippians. Kind of corny, I guess, but it always stuck with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know how you can find those four books real easy? General Electric Power Company. So if you go to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just remember, which because all kind of they all run together there. General Electric Power. Okay, it's the first one then. Galatians, then Ephesians, Philippians. So just a neat thing that stuck with me. And I know it's really, really corny, but just stuck with me. So we are in Philippians, which is the power part of General Electric Power Company, chapter 3. And we'll see what Paul says about keeping our eye on the prize. Now, you know, we talked about Paul a little bit last Wednesday night with all the ISIS stuff that's happening across our country. We talked about Wednesday night how, you know, we can kind of equate Paul in a more minor degree to an ISIS soldier in a more minor degree. Because if you remember, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was there at his death, consenting to his death, the Bible says, just because of his faith in the way in Christ. And then he got papers to go arrest Christians. He hated Christians. He was very vile against those who professed the faith of following the way at that time, which was Christ. And so Paul was Saul was a very mean man. Very mean man. But then the light came, of course, to Saul, and God spoke to him, changed his life. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and here he is now writing Philippians while he's in prison. And he suffered many things for the cause of Christ. And the reason Paul kept marching forward is because he kept his eyes on the prize. You know, Paul was beaten more than one time. Paul was, you know, cast in prison more than one time. Paul was run out of town more than one time. Paul was persecuted and put down all the time. Paul had a hard life in the earth, a hard life. What could keep a man keep preaching Jesus with that kind of life? Because Paul had a revelation of the end result, of the prize that was ahead of him. And he says, I can do suffer all these things, for I know one day I'm going to receive that crown God's waiting on me. I know I'm going to receive it. So I can endure those things. I can fight those things. I can suffer those things because look what I did before God saved me. I mean, my God, look what I did. Look who I was. And God saved a reprobate like me and changed my life. So we're going to begin in chapter 3, verse 8. Now, most of you probably have your King James or another version, but I have the Amplified just for this passage on the screen. So if it don't match up with your words, it's because I've got the Amplified version that I want to read starting with verse 8. This is Paul speaking. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else is lost, Paul says, that I may know Christ Jesus. Not know just here, but know by experience. You know, you can tell me all day long, hey, Pastor, you know what? This certain restaurant is awesome, man. It's good. And everybody in the world can say, this restaurant's so good. The food's awesome. You got to try. And I may hear that and know, okay, well, they say it's awesome. You know, Randy's Barbecue in Troutman's got a good name. And by the way, a couple of people there work there part-time. Anybody ever ate at Randy's Barbecue in Troutman? Anybody ever ate there? A couple people. It's got a great name down there. I always heard about Randy's Barbecue. You got to have Randy's Barbecue. Well, I may know that's good because everybody tells me it's good, but I finally went one day for lunch. And you know what? It's good. Real good. And now I know it's good. So now I can tell Margo, hey, I can tell her, I just didn't hear Randy Barbecue is good. But if you're in Troutman, Margo, go to Randy Barbecue. It is good. You get a big meal, a lot of food, and it's good. Real good. And it's always crowded. You know why it's crowded? God is good. That's right. So when you know something that you know, you've experienced it. Paul was not talking about, I count all of it lost because I know Christ in a head knowledge way. He knew Christ in an experimental way. Remember, God talked to Paul. You ever been walking down the road, walking your little chihuahua, and a light come out of the sky and say, Margo, Margo. Yes, Lord. I mean, Paul had that experience. He heard God's voice. It knocked him to his knees, and it changed his heart. Paul went from a bitter, violent, anti-Christ man to a baptized, Holy Spirit-filled child of God. That's what happened to Paul. So Paul did know Christ and what he was about. So a lot of people don't know Christ here, but then they know him here. And you know how you know the difference in someone if they know God here or here? They serve God and know him here. They serve him. They embrace him. They love them. They walk out their faith. They exercise their faith openly and outwardly if they really know them. There's a lot of people that say, yeah, I believe in God, I don't go to church. Why? Well, I believe in God, but I don't. Why? See, when we really know God, we should want to be where God's people are, sharing that experience and being a part of what he's doing in the local body. We should want to do that if we really know God. So head knowledge is one thing, but heart knowledge is another thing. I know I'm supposed to love my wife. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, I'm supposed to love her. I married her. I've sacrificed many, many my prime years for her and suffered many afflictions and many storms and endured many battles and heard many detailed conversations, which, by the way, women use 4 times more words than a man every day. That's a fact. You do studies. They use 4 times more words. Y'all repeat it because we just want the end line. Just give me how it finishes. Am I right? Just give me the end of the story. That's all I want to know. So anyway, I know I'm supposed to love Melanie, but you know what? If I didn't really love her in my heart, I wouldn't have been with her 23 years because head knowledge wouldn't have been enough. I'd be like, I know I'm supposed to love you. I just can't do this. But because I love her in here, I've experienced it. See, when we experience Jesus, it changes our lives like it did Paul. And he says, everything else is lost. I can give up all I've been, all I can be, all of my past credentials, all of my past stuff. I can sacrifice anything to know Christ. Let me pick back up where I left off here. I'm in verse 8. So, knowing Christ my Lord and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing, understanding him fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it more mere rubbish and refuse and dregs in order that I may win again Christ the Anointed One and I may actually be found and known in him, not as having any self-achieved righteousness. We're talking about this Wednesday night, saved by faith. Now that I have any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law, demands, rituals, uprightness, and supposed right standing with God, thus acquired, having possessed a genuine righteousness. Here it is, genuine righteousness, which comes how? Through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. Paul recognizes, I cannot do anything on my own to earn this great salvation. Jesus is righteous enough, gave that to me. I've been transformed by what he did for me, not what I can do for him. Because, man, we can try to tally that up all day long in our little diary, and we'll come short every day. How much I've done for God. How much I've done for God. How much is this enough? And every time God says, no, 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 no. It's not enough, not enough, not enough. You can bury yourself in the mountains of Brazil and be a monk and never eat and drink again in your life, never watch TV, never listen to music, never think a bad thought, if that's possible, which we know is not possible. We cannot do enough. Paul said, I know Christ. I know I'm saved by his righteousness. I count everything else I've done. And you know why Paul said this? Paul was a very educated man. He was taught by some of the greatest teachers in his time, and Paul was a scholar of the law and a scholar of the word. And Paul had been around some pretty smart folks. He had a Liberty University education, I don't know. And so Paul was very educated. But you know what he says? I count it all for loss. Don't mean nothing. Because I might have been educated, but I was unknowledgeable. I might have been educated, but I didn't have a clue. You ever see folks like that? I mean, they're so smart, but can't get themselves out of a peanut butter and sandwich bag. I mean, they're just, you know, they're so smart, worldly, but have no understanding at all inside. And Paul was saying, I count all that for loss. All the education, all the stuff I've been, all that, my name, my reputation, my Jewish heritage, all that stuff doesn't mean anything compared to knowing Christ. And that's what he preached. Now think about this. We have a lot of people in the world today that are scholars and teachers and biblical scholars, and you don't have one of those, your pastor. You just got good old James. But there's a lot of people that can really throw down the word and can throw it down in such detail and such knowledge that you're like, wow, you know, that's not me. You're in the wrong church. But what I do preach and what I can bring is the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like what Paul preached. And here's all Paul really preached. Here's his whole ministry. Now, we've got ministries that have revelation ministry, end-time preaching, prophecy, healing, miracles and signs and wonders, and different sects of preaching. But here's what Paul stuck to. this great educated Jewish scholar under the greatest rabbis ever, here's what he come out of college teaching. Jesus Christ was slain for your sins, born of a virgin, came to the earth, and died, and then 3 days later rose and ascended back to stand at the right hand of the Father, and one day will come back for the church to establish his church forever. That was his message. That was his ministry. That's what he preached. And you know what? That drew more people than any of the fancy preaching talking could ever draw. You know why? There's power behind that. There's power. I mean, that what draws people to Jesus is his power, his love, his anointing. And when you tell somebody that Jesus took your place and forgave all your sins, and some of us, if we sat down and started writing down our sins, couldn't even get it wrote out, we'd be so embarrassed or ashamed. It'd be hard to even write out on paper all the things we've done. He took all the stuff we've ever done and all the stuff we'll ever do in the future. And he says, you know what? I'm wiping all that away. I'm cleaning the slate. And it's like you never sinned because my blood has covered that. When you tell people that, wow. You know, church, I want to tell you something. If you ever get that revelation, you won't let no religious nosy-nosed person ever put you back in condemnation. Judging what you've done and where you've been, and they shouldn't be doing that. Well, you shouldn't be doing this. Let's look in the mirror and see where we stand. Let's look at our face. Let's look at our life. Let's look at our actions and see where that's at. God's forgiven us by his blood. And if Jesus has forgiven me, there's no reason we should hold anything against anybody else around us. He's forgiven us. And man, I don't have the power to forgive anyone anyway. Neither do you. You don't have the power to forgive someone. Not really. You have the power to release the anger, release the bitterness. If somebody hurts you and say, you know what, I forgive you in that sense, but you can't forgive their sins. Only Jesus does that, and he did that. So if he forgave me and he forgave you, we should forgive others and walk in that beauty. Go to the next slide. We're on verse 10. That I may know him, amplified, for my determined purpose is that, here was Paul's purpose, that I may know him, that I may be progressively and more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him. See, we've lost that, church. Me and I were talking about that this morning. We've lost that. That hunger. That people want to know God. Not just be entertained, but entertain him. And say, God, I want to know you. I want to know what you're saying, what you're thinking, what my steps you're ordaining. I want to know God, you. I want to know you as much as I know my sports stats or my movie stars or my movies or my genre, whatever it is that we're into. If you're a fisherman, you know all your fish. Know God like you know your fish. If you're a deer hunter, know God like you know your deer. Know God like you know your race car. Know God like you know the other things in your personal life. Know God that deeply. We're investing all of yourself. God, I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you and who you are. And all you can give into my life. Because we got to tap back into that and use that in our daily lives. Because what is on the horizon? The things that are rising up. The things that are coming against us. The things in this nation is going to change. You know, I've been saying this a couple years ago. The next few years, the face of America will be completely different. It's changing now progressively faster and faster. The face of America is changing. And people are buying into it and changing with it. Just saying, what does God's word say that I stand? You know, in Daniel's day, the world was changing too. If you remember in Daniel's day, the king made a decree and said, if anyone praised any other God but my God, you will be arrested. Well, Daniel didn't change his ways. Well, if all of a sudden we have leadership that says, we're going to endorse Sharia law in America, and if you don't practice Sharia law, you'll be arrested. That's the days of Daniel. If we catch you praying Jesus, if we come into a church and you're got a cross showing anywhere, you're preaching the blood of Jesus, you're preaching forgiveness, you're talking about, you know, anything in this, you know, you're going to be arrested. What are we going to do? Where are we going to stand? What's our reaction going to be? Daniel had a decision to make. Daniel knew the law was in place. It didn't stop him from praying. He threw them shutters open, facing the east, and bowed on his knees and prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without hesitation. It says, that's my God, Jehovah God, the only one. And they arrested him and threw him in a dungeon with a bunch of lions, man-eating lions. The king didn't want to do it because he loved Daniel, but he made a decree. He made a law. He threw Daniel in that lion's den. He came out the next morning, knock on that little door. Daniel, by any chance, are you still alive? And imagine him hearing Daniel's response back. Imagine. Don't worry, king, I'm here. Me and old Leo's getting along just fine. That's my 2 cents. Food line commercial. So, me and Leo, can you imagine God just kept the lion's mouth closed all night? You know why? Because Daniel honored God. So God honored Daniel. The world's always had their landscape change. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, same thing, right? Had an ungodly king, worshiped fake gods and all that. Got mad they wouldn't bow down to his king. We're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. What you going to do? Do what you going to do. I'm not bowing down. So we've always had this anti-Christ movement. Always. From the very beginning. Anti-God movement's always been. And there's always been men and women that had to stand in the firing line and make a decision. And when we know God, I mean when we know God personally, we know God will take care of us. We don't have to hear about God will take care of us. I know God's going to take care of me. God, you're on my side. I feel you. You talk to me. You let me know I'm going to be okay. God, you're mine and I'm yours and we're connected by the blood. We're in the same family. You said that I am your royal priesthood, that I'm your holy people, that I'm part of your nation. That's what you said. So I hang on to that, God. I'm yours. You said that greater is you that's in me than anything else out in the world. Greater, God, is your spirit inside of me than any attack of the enemy that would try to destroy me. You also said, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror in your word. I am more than a conqueror through you that love me. All throughout the word, we have this great knowledge of knowing who God is if we'll take time to hear from God of who he is and get to know him. And it comes with spending time, just like with your spouse. You would not know your spouse if you didn't spend time with her. You have no idea who they were. Still in verse 10. Perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in the same way come to know the power that's outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts over believers, and that I may share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. Wow. What's Paul saying? There's a resurrection that I'm believing in and hoping for. That my body's not going to be the way it always is, but there's a resurrection, there's a life, there's a prize, there's a goal far greater than what I'm facing here and far greater than my sufferings. Remember what Paul said in one place, says that the suffering of this world are not to be compared to what's to be revealed in me. The sufferings of this world can't be compared to what God's got in store and going to reveal into my life when that time comes. Church, I know life sometimes don't make sense. You got a preacher that understands that. We talk about this in our own home sometimes. Me and Melanie talk. Life sometimes don't make sense. We're born. We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of battles. Many of you have sickness you fight. Some people have sickness their whole lives. They have pain their whole lives. They have problems their whole lives. Life can be very difficult, and life can be very hard. Sometimes we wonder, God, why are we here? Why was we here just to live a life of 60, 70, 80 years and allow that be not real good? You know, we have moments. We have highlights of glory. And then there's a lot of moments that we're like, wow, wish I wasn't here right now. We fight that, and we have that. And it doesn't make us suicidal to think those thoughts. It makes us normal. God, it'd be a lot better. You know, this is why the older I get, the more I can celebrate the saint of God going on to be with God. Because, man, they've laid their burden down. You know, when someone's suffering with cancer and pain, and they're in and out of chemo for years and years, and they're going back and forth, keeps coming back, and, you know, it's like the principle that we just, you know, we lost Brad Sherrill, 40 years old, fought cancer for several years, left behind two small kids, a wife, three kids, 40 years old. That's young, especially when you're over 40. That's young. Don't seem young to these kids, but it's young to me now. But you know what? He's not suffering anymore. He don't have any pain anymore. No chemo treatments, no weakness, no suffering. And so as I grow older, I begin to look at lives like that and realize, yeah, they're off the earth. The family's going to be the lost. The kids are going to be without a father. But for Brad Sherrill, he's attained the prize. He's received the crown. He's got his reward. As a Christian, when we know what our end result is, the suffering becomes a lot more bearable to realize what it's going to accomplish. You know, it's like when you work hard for promotion, hard at a job. You put in extra hours. You work hard. You work all the hours nobody else wants to work. You're there when everybody else goes home. You're burning the midnight oil. But then here comes the promotion. Here comes the money. Here comes the big bonus. All of a sudden, you're holding that bonus check. Wow. It was worth it. Each of us have goals that we're in the earth we attain for. The greatest goal, what Paul was saying is, the greatest goal is the prize of knowing Christ and knowing his resurrection and knowing what that power of resurrection does. See, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was the first fruits of those that came back from the dead. First fruits indicates there's second fruits and third fruits and fourth fruits. That's us. He was the first fruits. It shows us that because Jesus had a bodily resurrection, we too shall have a resurrection where death will no longer have us. Sickness can no longer touch us, and hell will ever be around us. We'll never be out of the resurrected living of God because of what he did for us. When he came out of that tomb the third day and the stone was rolled away and he walked out of that tomb, his resurrected body, that gave us access, each one of us that follows him, to have that same resurrection moment. Saying, you know what? You're never going to die now. This is why Jesus said throughout the gospel, especially in John a lot, this is why he said, if you will follow me, you will not die. Eat of this bread, you shall never perish. You know, believe in me, you'll never die. Over and over talks about that. And that don't make any sense to a lot of people. What do you mean you're not going to die? Jesus was talking a lot more than just our natural body. He says, you believe in me, you're not going to die. Eat my bread, you're not going to die. You're going to pass from that. See, death is not what's in our flesh. Death is the soul. Our flesh can perish, but we still live because we're a spirit. So just because someone's laying in a casket, they're not dead. They're very much alive somewhere. Their soul is still very active. Their awareness, their consciousness is still very active. Because what you see here is just the covering. But what's inside is what makes everything run. I've used this example before. You can have the prettiest. One of the cars I liked growing up as a teenager was the IROC Zs, the Camaro IROC Zs. Good-looking car, wasn't it? IROC Z. Oh, my gosh. Now, if there's an IROC Z parked out there in the parking lot, candy apple red, tinted windows, mag wheels, and somebody gave me the keys to it, I'd be so excited. IROC Z. Beautiful. Everything's perfect. I get in, put the key in, crank it, nothing happens. It don't make a sound. What's it's a Chevrolet. Okay, what? It cranks. I hear a mom cracking a Chevy joke. And it makes no sound. And I'm like, what's going on? And the guy says, oh, it ain't got an engine. Okay, well, what good is it? I mean, it can be pretty on the outside. It can look beautiful, tinted windows, all the stereo system, the big 12-inch woofers. I can be bassing all the way down to where this roof's, hooba, hooba, raise the roof. I mean, but you know what? If it don't have no engine, it's useless. Because why would I want an IROC Z? Yeah, it looks good, but I also want to feel the power under my seat when I mash that gas. You want to feel the power. I want to get somewhere. I can't get nowhere sitting in the parking lot of church. Hey, y'all. I look cool, don't I? I ain't going nowhere, but I sure look good doing it. The only way the wind's blowing my hair if I turn the air conditioner on. Because I ain't moving. You know what? That is the whole point of, what's my point now? I know I didn't get excited about the car. Anyway, the point is, it's what's inside that counts. And so it's the power of Christ in us that makes everything else move. Oh, I'm talking about the soul. That's what I'm talking about. The soul. So we're the I Rock Z when you look in the mirror. Hey, looking good. The gun and wink. But you know what? If that soul leaves your flesh, you're like the Wicked Witch of the West, right? You're but a puddle. You're nothing. But the soul goes on to live because that's where life's at. So Paul was in prison when he wrote this. You know, Paul knew he was going to die. Paul got martyred for his faith. He got executed for his faith. That's why he died. You know, it wasn't because of murder or rape or, you know, whatever. He went to the electrical chair, so to speak, because of his faith. He wouldn't quit preaching Christ. But even in prison, he was still preaching Christ. Even in prison, he was still preaching the resurrection. Even in prison, he was saying, you know what? I'm going to still talk about my God and not be ashamed of it. Because I don't care if I'm going to get killed. I know where I'm going. I mean, think about the relief it almost could be to a person, especially if you're in pain all the time, to realize, I'm not going to be in pain no more. You know, I lost my aunt Eunice a few years ago, my dad's sister, and she had cancer. And, you know, I look back and I miss her so much. She was the one that was the life of my family, Aunt Eunice. She was loud and bold and didn't care what she said when she said it. To the point you were like, oh, my gosh. One of those aunts, you know what I'm saying? But I miss that. And she just told it like she felt it. And but toward the end, she had cancer. And she was suffering and in pain. And it's almost when she passed away, though, I miss her here so much. It was a joy for her that she's attained the prize. That there was something much greater than cancer. Cancer couldn't keep her from getting to the prize. It couldn't stop her from attaining the goal. That's what Paul was saying. There's so much power in this resurrected faith that no matter what you're facing, the resurrection is going to override that. It's going to override sickness, disease, discouragement, fear, torment, whatever it is. The resurrected power of Christ is going to lift you out of that and carry you home. Keep your eyes on the prize. Verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal. Paul's not got it yet. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on. To hold of, to grasp, and to make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah had laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own, but one thing I do, this is my one aspiration. I'm going to forget what lies behind me, and I'm going to strain forward to that which is ahead. Think about your vehicle. Let's go back to the IROC Z. Okay, the front windshield is really big, and the rearview mirror is really small. You know why? Because you're supposed to be looking forward, not backward. You got to look forward. You have a clear view of where you're heading so you don't run into something you shouldn't. Paul was saying, I'm not going to look back at what I've accomplished. I'm not going to even look back. Now, think of the guilt Paul must have carried. I mean, think about this. Here is Stephen, a great martyr. A great man of God, and his name is Stephen. Great man of God. The Bible says Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He went around and laid hands on people and seen healing take place and preached the gospel. Now here is Paul. And all these men have gathered around Stephen to stone him with rocks till he dies. Now you're talking about brutality. I mean, rocks. Bang, bang, bang. Stephen, you die, sucker. Bang, bang, bang. Following that Jesus stuff. Bang, bang. Probably using profanity and cursing them just until he died. And here's Paul standing there, part of it. Get him, boys. You missed a spot. Hit him right there. Get him right there. What do you think about your God now, Stephen? But I love the story of Stephen because there's a place in the Bible when he's dying. Remember it says he looked up into the heavens and saw God. He looked up while he was dying in that process, saw God. I believe God opened that window to allow Stephen to realize, you're coming home. It's okay. I've got something waiting on you. So now here's this same Paul who watched Stephen die, was part of it, and then was on his way to arrest all of those that believe in this Jesus junk. And all of a sudden, God changes them and saves them and now uses them. Think of the guilt he had to bear. God, do you know what I've been? Do you know where I was? God, I was part of murder. God, I helped take a life. God, I cursed your name. I said you are false and you are nothing. God, I'm so ashamed of what I was. But Paul had to let all that go. Because, see, if we keep looking at everything we've been and all the things that we've done, we can't move forward to what God has ready for us. If all we see is the past, we cannot experience any future. And Paul was saying, I got to let all that go for the cause of Christ. I got to let all that go. I can't stay focused on what I've been, good and bad, what I've done, good and bad. But I got to focus, God, on moving forward and what you've called me to do now. Because there are seasons of our lives we just like to erase. Can I get amen on that? Just erase. Delete. Pretend it never happened. Things that we've done, we wish we could just erase and it never would have been done. Here's the beauty. It's what grace does in the eyes of God. Grace says that. Delete. Erase. Never done. Never happened. Clean slate. White as snow. Forgetting it. Casting it to the east as far as the west. For, you know, all the stuff we read in the Bible of the grace and the mercy of God. I will make a new covenant with my people that I will forgive their sins and all their iniquities and remember them no more. God says that. I'm going to remember them no more. Think about how powerful that statement is. God says, I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to remember your sins no more. Wow. That's what makes grace so powerful. Here's Paul. Hey, had to fight that. He says, you know what? I'm going to press forward. I can't focus on what I was, what I've done, where I've been. I got to keep moving forward. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. I'm pressing toward the goal of the ultimate prize, and that's a resurrected life with Jesus. That's all of our goals as believers. That's why we can live a life here and suffer quite a few things to realize all the suffering is going to give way to a greater hope and a greater glory. Because, see, Paul says that it's Christ is the hope of glory in us. That's him and us is our hope of glory. The Holy Spirit's our hope of glory. The Holy Spirit living in us gives us hope that there's more to come than what we have right now. Our life's not going to always be this way. People get very miserable and very depressed and very discouraged, and the medical world has made billions off of keeping people happy on happy pills. But if you ever find this ultimate finish for your life and what's happening and where you're going to cross over, you could be happy all the way there. Knowing, you know what? I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. It's down in my heart to stay. To stay. See, God stays with us. His joy can stay in our storm. It can stay in our darkness. It can stay in our tribulation. It can stay in the face of danger. It can stay in the face of fear. It can stay in the face of all the things that attack us. His joy stays. It remains. We don't always feel that joy. There are days I don't want to get out of bed. Especially Sundays. Mom's always got to call me. You got to preach. No, I'm playing. There's days that I don't want to get out of bed. There's days I don't feel the joy. I mean, there's days I'm just, happy, yeah, whatever. We all face those days, right? But it doesn't mean the joy is not still in me. I just got to remember it. I got to remember I should be joyful because I know the prize I'm going to get one day. The crown that's waiting on the people of God, the resurrected glory, the temporary home is going to give way to an eternal home. That's what matters. That's what counts. That's what Paul says. Give me one more scripture and we'll get out of here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. I tell you what, slide on through that. Go to Corinthians 1, Jeremy. I'd rather read Corinthians than this one, actually, for time's sake. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This will be actually the King James Version on the screen on this scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to start with verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know what Paul is saying here? We're not all going to die. Now here he's talking about we're not all going to die in the flesh, but we're all going to be changed. Now, there's a generation of the people that won't go by the way of the grave. They'll be transformed and changed while they're alive. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, Brenda, just to be transformed while you're alive. Ain't got to sing no sad songs over your casket and ain't got to cry melly boo for weeks and weeks and months. And, you know, we just walk in. You be just cleaning them houses. Woo, and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds and hallelujah, no more houses. I mean, this is what Paul was saying. We're not all going to die, but we all are going to be changed. This is my little print here. Hang on. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be changed. We're not going to stay in this broken, depressive state we live in now. And for you young people, it's like, what are you talking about? Just live a few more years, you'll get it. I didn't feel that way either when I was 20. But as you grow older, you start seeing more storms. Wait till y'all have kids. My God, it all changes then. Wait till you get married. Whew. I mean, that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Marriage is honorable before God. Institution of honor and love. And it's wonderful. Wouldn't everyone be single again? Ever. Really wouldn't. I'm picking. But we're all going to be changed. And that's a wonderful, beautiful promise that we have. We're going to be changed. Then he goes on to say this. For the corruptible, which is us in the state we're in, shall put on incorruption, and the mortal. Mortal means that we perish, we die. That mortal is going to put on immortality. Everybody knows what immortality means. Our kids know what that word means. Going to live forever. Immortality. Anybody ever grow up watching the old Dracula movies? The old black and white Dracula movies. Oh, I loved them. That old Boris, wasn't Boris one of them? That Boris Koloff or something? And why were women drawn to him? Now ladies, I understand y'all can be vulnerable emotionally to men. But you got a guy in a cape who sleeps in a coffin, who has big old fangs, who sucks your blood. And you like that. I don't know. I don't know what would make a woman drawn to that. Knowing you're going to stick your teeth in you and you're going to be a vampire. But somehow the draw's like, oh, man, get stronger than that. Huh? The accent. I'm going to suck your blood. Yeah, I know. It's kind of sexy, isn't it? And I'm straight. But anyway, so think about, we grew up on those Dracula movies, and he says, you know, come with me and you'll never die and you'll live forever. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, and they just, you know, live. We've always sought that immortality, that fountain of youth. How many of you are on Facebook? You're these freaks internet freaks that you're looking at every new document, medical document, how to live longer, every pill that makes you stronger, makes you have more hair, you know, makes you breathe, whatever, to try to live longer, you know. Take off 20 years, take this pill. Where do I sign? You know, look, 20 years, lose 20 pounds in 20 days. There's a way you can lose weight. Easy fix. Lay the fork down. That's how you do it. No mystery. Just don't eat as much. But we have all this stuff that we want to live longer, look better. You know, you got athletes now that are playing longer in their careers because they don't want to give up. You know, they're 40, 42, 43, still trying to throw a football, gray-haired and arthritis. And I'm not really 43. I'm just 23 and a 43-year-old. I mean, they still think that. We want to always live. Well, here is what Paul says. We're going to put on immortality. Jesus makes us live forever. That's the secret. We'll live forever through him. Verse 54. When this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? You don't have it no more because of what Jesus did. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But grace came in verse 57, thank God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I won't have to face death or the grave because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He came from the dead, so shall I. He overcame death, hell, and the grave, so shall I. He was changed, so shall we be changed. He was the first fruits of those to follow, which is the rest of generations of people that place their faith in him. Keep your eye on the prize and keep on pressing toward the mark. You may be suffering a battle now, and you may be suffering storms now, but you keep your eye on the prize because one day you're going to attain it. And one day we're going to cross that finish line, and our eyes are going to behold all that God has prepared for us. And we're going to walk into that glorious state of eternal living. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, no more fear, no more pain, no more storms, no more battles, no more depression, no more junk to deal with, no more worries, no more sleepless nights, no more anxiety, no more stress. Just the kingdom of God forever. That's our prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. When you know where you're going to finish, you can have joy and peace even in the storm. You can endure it because you know you're safe. You know you're safe. That is my message this morning. Melanie, I want you to pull up. I was going to sing an earlier, be a good closeout song. Come here. Ushers, come on, make your way up here for our offering this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for this word this morning. We want to thank you for this hope we have in you. We want to thank you for what you've accomplished for us and what you have waiting on us. Lord, you're every saint that crosses that line, you're standing there personally welcoming us home. I just know that, God. Everyone will see your face when they cross into that next rim. We thank you, God. You're waiting at the finish line, waiting on your sons and daughters to come forth. Thank you, God. We're part of that eternal millennium kingdom that you're going to establish. Thank you that we're part of that resurrected glory that all of our hopes placed in, God. As Paul says, if all we had was what we have now, we'd be miserable people. But God, misery is going to give way to glory. Hopelessness is going to give way to hope. Sickness is going to give way to healing. And bondage is going to give way to deliverance. Thank you, God, that we have a place waiting on us that you prepared. For this offering today, God, we ask your blessing on it, that every seed that is sown is used for your glory, and that every seed that is sown is blessed by your hand. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. The church said, amen. I want to sing this song and close out. And why don't y'all stand up? Y'all know this song. It closes out good. I've never been this homesick before. Go ahead and play it.